sound of the helicopters. Reminds me of the first time I went to stay with John Fua, April 1974. I'd wake up at 3 a.m. The B-52s were flying over. But they weren't playing war games. They were actually going out on their bombing runs into Cambodia. And my first feeling, hearing them every day, was one of impotence. I felt like there's something I should be doing out there to stop this. That by staying on that little mountain in Thailand, I was neglecting my duty. I mentioned this to John Fuang. He said, you know, you can only take on so many things in life. If you try to take on too many things, as he says, your goodness breaks. Your good intentions get worn down. You get frustrated. The only way to maintain your goodness is to keep it focused where it will make a difference. And as John Sawat once said, each of us has only one person. In other words, we're responsible for our own intentions. We can't be responsible for other people's intentions. And so this is where our work has to begin, right here in training the mind. When you read the Dhammapada, you see the Buddha signaled as one of the main differences between wise people and foolish people is that wise people see the need to train the mind. Foolish people don't. Because wise people see that everything comes out of the mind. This is what makes all the difference in the world. Your actions, your thoughts, the words you say, they all come out of your mind, and they can be really harmful if you're not careful. So this is why you have to be mindful. This is where you have to exercise mindfulness and make it stronger. This is what we're doing right here. We're exercising the mind, all the good qualities in the mind. Mindfulness, alertness, concentration, discernment. Without these things, you get careless. You don't really see what's going on, even on the surface level. Something pops into your head and you say it, and then you realize afterwards what you said. By then it's too late. Say nothing of the things going on deeper in the mind. When anger forms, how does it form? What are its subterfuges? What are the stages it goes through before you're aware of it? Same with greed, lust. These things have their stages. And if you can't see them as they're forming, you're usually aware of them only after they've come out in your thoughts and your words and deeds, and that's when it's had a bad effect, both for yourself and for the people around you. So if you want to make the world a better place, this is where you have to start. There's a teaching of what they call the cycle of action. First you act, and then there's the result of the action, and then you react to that result. And if there's a defilement in the mind with that reaction, that means that the subsequent action is going to be defiled as well, unskillful as well. You get results that you like and you want to hold on to them. That makes you greedy. You get results you don't like, you want to push them away. That's the beginning of aversion. When you don't see this happening, that's delusion. You can't cut the cycle between the action and the result. You can't do something with unskillful motives and hope it's going to give a happy result. Those two are firmly connected. But you can begin to cut things between the result and the defilement, or between the defilement and the action. In other words, if you can replace the defilement with a more skillful state of mind, okay, then you can prevent yourself from acting in a defiled way. This is why mindfulness and alertness are so important. You see what's happening and you realize this is not going to be skillful, so you stop. Or even better, if you can begin to get to the root of the defilement before it arises. Something good comes up and you don't have to give rise to greed. Something bad comes up, you don't have to give rise to anger. When there's equanimity in the mind, you don't have to be deluded. These things are not necessary. As John Lee once said, there are two types of suffering in the world. Suffering that's natural, that simply comes with part of having a body. And then suffering that's not natural, and that's the suffering that comes from our defilements. What is a defilement? It's something that clouds the mind. It's like a cloud that comes in front of the sun, darkens the sun. And the sun itself is still bright, but there's that cloud there, so we can't see things as clearly. And if you ask ordinary people, is your mind defiled? They say, oh no, my mind's perfectly fine. And yet they're filled with defilements. The mind isn't nearly as luminous as it could be. So this is why you practice mindfulness, practice alertness, so you can catch these things before they gain any strength. And we begin our work with plain old distraction. You're here focusing on the breath and something else comes up in the mind. You've got that moment where you can choose. Are you going to go with it or are you going to stay with the breath? And in the beginning stages, it looks like we don't know what happened. You're with the breath and suddenly you're someplace else, thinking about friends, thinking about family, thinking about tomorrow, thinking about yesterday, the food we had this morning, the food we're going to have tomorrow, all kinds of things you can get tied up in. And you wonder how it happened. Distraction is so powerful that it has you thoroughly taken in. That's part of the process is that the mind lies to itself. It makes a choice and then it pretends that it didn't make a choice. It buries things so deeply down in your subconscious zones that you don't really know what happened. Part of you does know, and that's the issue. And also that's what makes it possible to overcome distraction. So the trick is getting to be quicker and quicker at seeing the process, catching yourself earlier and earlier in the stages of distraction. And it's not going to be the case that suddenly you did have distraction, and suddenly you're all done with the distraction. It's a skill that you develop gradually over time. You get quicker and quicker and quicker at catching yourself until finally you see that point where you made the choice. And then you can work back and you see the point where the mind is beginning to get a little bit bored with its meditation or frustrated with its meditation and it wants something else and it starts looking for distraction. You want to be able to catch that point as well. The purpose of all this is not only so you get better in your meditation, your concentration gets stronger, but also you begin to see what's actually going on in the mind, the kind of dialogue, the kind of conversations that go on in the mind. Because the conversations that surround distraction are the same ones that are going to surround lust, aversion, delusion, greed, fear, all these other emotions. In Thai, they use the word tan. Not ton, but tan, which means to be up on something, to be fast enough so you can catch up with something as it's happening. And that's what we're trying to do as we meditate, is just catch up with these things, be quick enough to sense them. Because it's from these little things that all the big problems in the world come from. All the greed and anger and stupidity that we see in the world, it comes out of these little moments in the mind. And there's no way you're going to straighten out other people's minds unless you can straighten out your own mind first. And even then, they don't let you straighten them out. You can give them pointers, and they may or may not be willing to listen to you. But at the very least, you've taken care of the part where you are responsible, and you can see results. When you come right down to it, that's all you can ask of a human being. You've got this one person that you're responsible for. And so often we're irresponsible about ourselves, but we want to straighten everybody else out. It doesn't work. It's only when you've straightened out your own mind that other people are curious about how you did it. It's only to that extent that you can actually have an influence out there on other people's behavior. But at the very least, make sure you've got your own behavior. As John Sawat once said, it doesn't matter whether we get other people here at the monastery. He said, make sure you just get yourself. If you get yourself and other people are attracted to come and practice the same way, fine. If not, well, at least you've got yourself. And that's more than most people can say.